Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, proudly sponsored by Unibet. We're getting close to Christmas and hopefully we've got a bit of funding for you with some winners ahead of the Christmas period. Before we get stuck into this week's weekend's action, I should say we're going to have a really special Christmas show. To do make sure to tune into that. That'll be our top five bets over the Christmas period. Everything you need to know for all those big races, the King George, Welsh National, New Year's Day, Challow, all the racing from Ireland as well. So do make sure to join us on that. But first, we've got some cracking action to look forward to this weekend from Ascot and Haydock. We've got four live races at Ascot to preview, including the Long Walk Hurdle, a grade one, the final grade one this side of Christmas. And it looks a really competitive one as well. And we'll also have two live ITV races from Haydock, including the Tommy Whittle. Joining me to dissect the action is in your top right, Racing Post colleague James Hill, bottom left betting editor Keith Melrose, and as always in the far right corner is Unibet's Ed Nicholson, set to jet off to Australia, but hopefully he's got better luck for the British contingent than perhaps they are having in Australia at this point in time. Let's get straight into Ascot and where else to start but the 225. This is the Howden Long Walk Hurdle, where JP McManus has a very strong grip on this race with two 11-4 favourites in Honesty Policy for Gordon Elliott and Impose Toir, the winner at Newbury last time out. Strong leader at 4-1. Crambo bidding for a third consecutive win. He's 17-2 along with Potter's Charm. Jet Blue at 14s. Doddy Great at 16s. Alto Belly, we know he loves Ascot, at 18-1 along with Colonel Mustard. Beauport at 22-1 and Gwenny May Boy at 40-1. Jimmy, great to have you back on the show. Talk us through your thinking on the Long Walk.
Yeah, terrific race, James. I thought last year's race was pretty good as well, though. My thinking is that the market seems to have underestimated last year's renewal a bit, which was, of course, won by Crambo for the second year running. Beauport was back in third, and they both go again. I mean, the form of that race has worked out pretty well. Hidden Valley Lake went on to win at Aintree, and you also had the fourth horse, the War Park, be placed in the stayers. So, I mean, for a grade one, I thought that it was pretty solid form. And I think both Crambo and Beauport are too big in the market. Crambo, we know, loves Ascot in this race. Anyway, he was disappointing last time. I wouldn't take too much notice of that personally. He was a 28-1 shot over in an adequate trip. This has been very much his Gold Cup for the season. It's his big aim. He's looking to win the race for a first straight year. And I'm in London at the moment. It's absolutely chucking it down. And I have to say, if this rain continues, I'll be getting more and more interested by Beauport. He ran a cracker in this race last year. He was only beaten a length and a half. And I was at Cheltenham when he last ran, ran perfectly well. I thought, considering, you know, he didn't look the fittest in the paddock, I thought there'll be more to come from him later in the season. So he'll be straighter this time. I know he's a chaser, but with the ground getting softer and softer with this rain, I think he's a great each-way price.
Yeah, certainly could be an each-way price indeed. Keith, what's your assessment on the Long Walk?
It's very like Jimmy's, actually. It's I thought Beauport, he did me a bit of a favour last year. I put him up each way last year and thought, got excited briefly, but still in the end got a reasonable collection. He got quite well back that day. He was 33s the night before and went off 16s, and I think they're underestimating him again. As Jimmy says, he ran perfectly well at Cheltenham. He has got a really good form at Ascot. He came into this race last year having won the Berkshire National by several furlongs, and he just looks like a horse that has been primed for another go at this race. It might be a little bit heavier on sexy up-and-coming types this year, but still not a brilliant race. I can't see why he should be north of 20-1, really, so he's the each-way bet for me.
Okay, so two selections for Beauport at 22-1 as it stands with Unibet. Ed, great to have you back on the show. Big betting weekend, of course. Two JP horses at top of market. Do either of them take your fancy?
Yeah, but they're both are definitely there with chances, aren't they? Top two in the market. And JP's got a good record in this race, hasn't he? Champ winning it, and Barracuda won it in his colours, I think. One of four wins for that horse at the turn of the century. That was one of the greatest races I've ever seen, actually. The year at Barracuda actually got beat. It would have been five years that he won this, but he got beat in the middle by Dino's Beano. Those old enough remember what a great ride that was by AP McCoy. back in early 2000s. But in Post Tuaro has been the improver, hasn't he? He's a new kid on the block, as it were, in the Stayers hurdles this season. Grade 2 winner last time out the long distance hurdle at Newbury, when he looked all over the winner all the way along. I was there that day and my eyes couldn't be taken off Nico de Boinville. And the horse, he was carrying his head a little bit strangely, if those remember the race. And it was on the side, not high or low, but on the side. And I don't think he was going quick enough. They were going quick enough for him that day. I think they'll go pretty quick on Saturday. And I think that will suit him. He is a three-miler. Many people think that he was, you know, 2.5, possibly 3 miles. But this 3 mile half a furlong will take some getting on the ground. But I think Impost was the improver. So he would be my selection. Good race side. Crambo definitely has chances. I was looking at him, and as the lads have both said, yeah, going for a hat-trick of victories like Big Bucks accomplished a few years ago. Loves Ascot, yeah. So he would have a chance. But although it was over 2.3 miles last time at Ascot, I was still a little bit disappointed with that performance. So I'm not going to be rowing in with him. So Impost Tuaro. We are going top price every runner in the race from 11 a.m. So you won't get a bigger price from 11 a.m. on Saturday on any of these runners in the betting village.
Okay, good to know, and good for me as well. I quite like Potter's Chum. I'm going to give him one more chance, Ed. I know your nostalgia klaxon's gone. My Cliff Horse klaxon has gone. So we're already in nice. And let's move on to the second race we're going to look at. And this is a really cracking handicap chase, the Howden Silver Cup handicap chase. We're at the top of a market. Blow your wad at 4-1 for Tom Lacey. Victorino, it's getting into Venetia Williams' time of year, isn't it? 5-1 along with Pick Rock, so unlucky in the Coral Gold Cup last time. That's one for Ben Pauling, as is Henry's Friend at 11-2. Johnny Who, 11-2 as well. Highland at 9-1. Deep Cave for Christian Williams at 10s. And Free Under, 3-5 at 14s. Keith, where else to start for a big handicap chase? Not quite as testing as we might enjoy, but a good race. And what's your verdict?
I think this is actually too tough for me to come around and say I fancy one here. It is a really good race, actually. And there's loads that I could be interested in at the prices. The only thing I would say that should maybe entice punters a little bit is I'm not that keen on a couple near the top of the market. Blow Your Wad doesn't deserve to be this price for this race, I don't think. And Pick Rock's also the sort of horse that I wouldn't be going into at a short price in a race as deep as this. So there must be room somewhere and there must be value somewhere. And I think the main one I'm going to be with is Deep Cave. She is a horse I think is definitely going to win one of these big staying handicaps this season. When the market speaks against the Christian William horse in November, it usually says they're not winning. And she won at Bangor and she beat the Doyen Chief, who shaped really well at Cheltenham last week. He didn't get home. If the Doyen Chief was running in that 3 mile race at Kempton on the 27th coming up, I think he'd win it. And she beat him last time at Bangor. I think that she's the same connections as Win My Wings, who won the Eider and the Scottish National a couple of years back. And she had two entries on this card. She was also in the graduation chase on this card. So there's just a very slight worry that this is also her working up towards something else. But very interested in her for a big race at some point this year, and I'll have her on side. I think Leave of Absence has been written off far too quickly by the betting. He really looked like he was going places when he won at Cheltenham's October meeting, and he hated the ground at the November meeting. So I can write that off. Without that run, which is entirely excusable, he's 8, 9, 10 to 1. And you can get much bigger than that because as a result of what's happened in the November meeting. And I don't think I'm going to back this horse like with a traditional bookie. However, I can see myself playing up and down the place markets on Betfair or something with 2 for Gold at a monster price. A horse that has loads of good form at Ascot. He's been second in an Ascot chase. He has still got a lot of fire burning in him. Yes, he's old now, and he's not the horse quite that he was. His mark's starting to reflect that. He is in decent enough heart. And it's one of those that if you can get 5 places on Betfair and 4 places on Betfair, you'll still get a tasty enough price. And he is a monstrous price at 50s. But as I say, I can't come down on one in this race, but I do think there's room there somewhere because a couple of those at the top of the market are just a bit too short.
Okay, well, 2 for Gold is 40s with Unibet. You touched on Leave of Absence. He's 14-1. And Deep Cave, the one you started there, she was so good at Aintree last year. She came back and won for the Williams team at 10s. Jimmy, what's your verdict?
Well, I looked at the recent runnings of this race, James, and youngsters have tended to do pretty well in it. You know, you've had horses 7, 6, even 5 winning this race including Victorino, who's won it for the last 2 years. He's back for more. I certainly wouldn't put anyone off him. I think he's still on a decent rating. Loves Ascot, as we know. But, I mean, I agree with what Keith was saying about Deep Cave. I think he's quite a promising type. I tend to look more towards the spring for Christian Williams horses. But I was really impressed by how he won at Bangor when he beat the Doyen Chief, beat him a couple of lengths. I didn't think the second did too badly at Cheltenham last week, frank the form a bit. He won a Premier Handicap hurdle at Aintree in April. This is his first start over fences in Britain. It was his first start over fences in Britain when he won at Bangor. This is his second. And I think there's plenty more to come from him. He looks a big improver.
Okay, two shouts for Deep Cave. And we mentioned, I mean, the Doyen Chief. I mean, it's a mention as well, of course, the start that the Doyen Chief had in the Coral Gold Cup. Who knows how he could have done there? That could have been quite the form compliment boost. We've already talked about starts on the show last week. Graham Rodway calling for some change. Ed, we've touched on some outsiders here, but Blow Your Wadders, 4-1 favourite. What's the market been like this week?
Money for everything, really. There's been a bit of money for a couple, which I'll go into. Johnny Who has been backed, and on the back of, you know, poor form for the O'Neills camp, it's been well touted that they haven't been in the best of form. But, you know, after the storm comes a rainbow, and it might well be that this is their rainbow, because I think the O'Neills are going to boot some winners in over Christmas. I really do. Maybe the Welsh National being one of them. It's amazing how trainers have a terrible time and then they come back even stronger. So, yeah, I think Johnny, who's certainly got chances, has been back from sevens into fives. But the other one that's been backed, and we've mentioned him, in fact, he's been mentioned twice, and I'm mentioning him, he's going to be my selection, is Deep Cave. Christian Williams loves this horse. He thinks it's a stayer to go to war with. He's got lots of younger horses. Well, he had lots of younger horses 2 or 3 years ago when Kitty's Light and Sue Howells, who owns this, Win My Wings. Winning all the big races. Win My Wings won the Ida and the Scottish National, and then was fifth when falling in the Bet365 in the same year, 2022. And this one, I think they think could go to the very top in the handicap chase arena. And if he is to do that, he needs to be winning off 139. Christian doesn't send many horses down south until the big races, normally down the springtime. And he hasn't got a great record at Ascot. He's only had one winner at Ascot in 20 races. So slightly worried about his statistics at Ascot, but the horse doesn't know that. He's in good form. He won at Bangor. He's certainly better than 139. Jack Tudor, one of my favourite jockeys. I think he'll go really well. And just for Keith, he'll be glad to know, talking about extra places on another bookmaker, we are going extra places here at Unibet. We're going an extra place. There are 20 runners. There are plenty of runners. 20 fences, 12 runners in this contest. And I think there'll be 5-1 the field come Saturday. And as I say, it's an extra place. And Johnny Who will go well, but I just think Deep Cave might be a 150 horse.
Okay, wow. We are triple locked into the 3 o'clock at Ascot. It looked competitive handicap on paper. What do we know? And just to touch on what Ed touched on there, he mentions the Welsh Grand National for the O'Neills. The horse they've got is collector's item at 12-1 with Unibet. We'll Ed select that next week. We will wait and see, and you'll have to join us to find out. But we will move to the 3:35 at Ascot, a cracking race, a really cracking card. I keep saying that. The Ascot Rotary Club Festive Handicap Hurdle, where we get to see that potential champion hurdle, dark horse perhaps, Alexei. But he's not favourite. The favourite is Mondo Man here at 9-4 for the Gary and Josh Moore team. Alexei, 4-1, carrying top weight after his great Unibet Greatwood win, I should say. Thank you very much, Ed. Willful at 11-2. Fiercely Proud, 8-1. Helmvine, 10s. Live Conti, 14s, along with Stick to the Plan. And Favoir, 14-1 as well. Ed, we'll start with you here. Alexei, are we with or against?
I'm with him. I think he's a dark horse, as you stated, for the Unibet Champion Hurdle. He still needs to improve plenty. I mean, he needs to be a 160 horse, doesn't he? And he's only 147. So I've got to back him here if I think he's got a chance of being in the picture. Golden Ace won last year's Unibet Champion Hurdle off 144, but she's obviously got the £7 for the mare. Lossy Mouth will be around about, you know, 160, but she'll have the I would have thought, but she'll have the mayor's allowance. But the horses last year that kind of, you know, they were rated 150, the second and the third. So if Alexi wins this, he'll then be given a rest, and I think he comes into it. So the only worry is that he has been busy this season, and as we all know, you know, races do catch up with horses. So it's kind of bold that Joe Tizard's going here. He did say after winning the Unibet Championship, I spoke to him in the Winners Connections, and he did say he'd probably take on another handicap before going into graded races. And why not? If you think you've got a horse that's kind of £20 in hand, or certainly £15 in hand, then you would do that. So this is quite a big race, 71,000 to the winner. And I think the way that Alexo won by six lengths, the Unibet Grade, would always a competitive race. I think he must win this if he's going to run in the Grade One contest. And Mondo Man's disappointed me too many times. I mean, I've backed him every time he's run over hurdles. He's my cliff horse, and I backed him at, was it Lingfield last time, when he actually settled, and I thought, here we go, he's going to win. And he came up and he didn't go past the horse. That was well backed, and he's not a slouch, but. Yeah, I kind of don't like anything else in the race, and Mondo Man will probably come and bite me on the bottom and win when I haven't backed him. But yeah, Alexi could win this, and then might be a 20-1 for the Unibet Champion Hurdle. Reminds me of the Make a Stand and years, you know, when he came up from 127 to win it that same year, same season. It's that sort of horse, I think. And the picture of the Unibet Champion Hurdle is still, although it's 2-1 Lossy Mouth, 7-2 Sugino, 9-2. The other one, I still think it's a lot to play over the Christmas. If Sugino came out, he could be favourite easily if he won the Christmas hurdle. But apart from that, it's like 20-1. Some horses that probably will be single figures come the day, and Alexi's one of them. So, yeah, Alexi has to win this race if he's as good as I think he is. So that's my selection.
He is 4-1. And Mondo Man, of course, Ed, you mentioned, started his season against Lalamba last year, didn't he? And second in that race at Ascot.
Yeah. When
we know what Lalamba's gone on to do and might go on to do rest of his career. Mondo Man, though, 9-4 favourite at Ascot, returns to the track. Keith, what's your thinking in this race? I mean, are you wanting to take on Alexi at the top of weights?
Yes, I do think Alexi's the one to be with here. I actually have got slightly different take on Ed. I just think he's a hotter horse you back until he goes. He looked like he could go to the moon when he won the Great Wood, and I think you back him until that happens. If there's a doubt, it is because nothing has come out of that race since, really. Because it was quite a hard race on quite deep ground. So that's just the tiniest little niggle for me. However, you know, didn't look like he had a hard race, did it? He won that very, very easily. Looked like a graded horse in the making. These 2 mile handicap hurdles are not deep in Britain these days. You know, we're not getting the recruits off the flat anymore we used to get. So they're actually a lot less deep than they were when Rooster Booster was doing this. When all these two good 2 milers were lumping top weight in these races, they're much easier to win now. That's why Mondo Man's the price he is, because he's got the sort of flat class. But he has not done anything like it over hurdles. For all his fancy races he's running on a flat, you know, running a Grand Prix de Paris and all that sort of stuff, he's never done it over hurdles yet, and they are subtly different skill sets. So you back the horse that looks like he's on his way to the champion hurdle versus the one that's got loads of flat class but has had five chances to do it over hurdles and hasn't done it yet, and you can see the joins of why he's not done it too. It's not like he's a horse they've been messing around with to get him in a handicap of 1-2-3. He didn't go past at Lingfield last time. You know, he hasn't settled a lot of the time. So, Alexi for me.
Yep, I suppose if we're talking about flat ratings, Mondo Man's about £40 well in, I think, Keith, isn't he? If we were only doing flat ratings, but he's just not quite far over hurdles. Perhaps he will on Saturday. But another shout for Alexi. Are you going to complete the hat trick, Jimmy?
Yes, I am. I think he's very much the one to be with. Agree with Ed. I mean, I think if he wants to be a serious champion hurdle contender, he's going to have to win this. I think he can. I was so impressed with him at Cheltenham. I mean, the runner-up, Helnawine, would have been a good winner, but Alexi just flew past him like he was standing still. Really impressive. He's clearly a big improver. He's only 5. £13 rise, so that's quite a lot, but he was so impressive. I just think he can overcome it. I think this is the right race to go for rather than the Christmas hurdle. I think, you know, strong pace clearly suits him. Biggish field, I think that'll help. And I think he's better value than Mondo Man. As Keith was saying, I think he's been a bit flattered by some of his best hurdle form. I think he was a much better horse on the flat. That's what he's really priced up on. Obviously, respect the yard with their record in handicap hurdles, but I'm surprised that Alexi's not favourite after that performance in the Great Wood. That was excellent. Looks really classy, and I think he can go in again.
Okay, looks like we're all on Alexi. I fancy his chances as well, of course. Graham, don't think he was going to suit him at Cheltenham, but it certainly did, and he won so well. So who knows? Maybe he will prove to be a champion hurdle horse. This season, one more race to look at Ascot. We'll go through this one quickly. That's the 150 at Ascot, the Howden Handicap Chase. Ed, have you got anything in this one?
Yeah, I'm keen to take on Bad at Ascot. He's good at Kempton and Bad everywhere else. And if it was a Kempton, I think I'd be on him. But he's favourite here. And I fancy the second favourite, which might usurp him in the skirmishes near to the off. But the famous five hasn't raced this season. As everyone knows who watched last week's podcast, I'm a big fan of Venetia Williams at this time of year. She's had four winners from 21 runners in the last 14 days. It is her time of the year. The famous five's got some good form to his name. And I do think that the famous five of a rating of 1, 2, 3 can, and only 10 stone four can take this race. We're doing a favourite price boost here. It's not something I've often spoken about, but there are a few races each week that we offer the favourite and we do a boost to the next price. And whoever's favourite here at the time, so it might be one favourite for 1 second, but then you might get extra value because it might be the next favourite 2 minutes later because it looks that kind of race. But you will get a price boost up the ladder.
Okay. Keith, do you fancy one of the favourites in this race?
I broadly agree with Ed. Bad was the last off the bridle under Paddy Power, but I think he's a bit soft. So anywhere where there's a stiff finish, I'm not keen on him. And I think the famous five is a bit of a bet. He's been second on his two runs in the spring. Both the progressive horses. Donnacha has been a progressive horse this autumn. And then he was second to Rathgall Hill, who is a horse that hasn't read the track an awful lot, but has a lot more talent than the mark he was running off that day, lets on. So I think famous five's got a bit of untapped potential. People are still swithering about Venetia Williams' form, but I think that's likely to turn today. You might not see much of it, but we'll come on to it a little bit later. I think she's going to have a few winners on Saturday, and I think the famous five, she has no problem getting them back fresh at this time. It looks like exactly the sort of race for this horse. I think he wants a little bit further than 2 miles, and the last time he ran over 2 mile 3, it was at Chepstow, which you know, that downhill run doesn't test stamina probably enough. So yeah, famous five for me.
Okay. And we're interested to hear what you've got later on in the show. Jimmy, finish us off.
A race I terribly like the look of this, James, to be honest with you. It's full of horses I've backed unsuccessfully over the last year. You've let him down, including Bad, who just seems to struggle to put it in at all in the finish. He does like Ascot, but I can't help thinking something's going to beat him. I mean, Etalon does look a good horse to me. When he performs, he's very in and out, but once or twice he's just looked a horse with a lot of potential over fences. Jumps well, he's got cheek pieces on for the first time, and he's unexposed over this trip. His penultimate start, it's quite good actually. The form was boosted by the winner at Fontwell, Twin Jets, winning won well at Newbury next time. So look, I'm going to give Etalon a small each way go in this, but it's, to be honest, it's not really a race I'm going to be spending too much money on. It looks very trappy.
Yeah, I completely agree with you about the lineup on Saturday. Do join us after the break. We'll be looking at the action at Haydock. Okay, we are heading north for part two of the show where we're going to Haydock, where the first race we're looking at is the 205, the Betfred Tommy Whittle Handicap Chase. Always a competitive winter feast this one to look forward to, and a really competitive betting heat, as you will expect. Jack's Parrot and Grand Geest at 9-2. Saladin's Son for the Inform Anthony Honeyball Yard at 5s. My Silver Lining, 13-2. Top of the Bill, 17-2. Famous Bridge at 9-1. O'Toole at 10s, along with Grand Albert. Keith, this is a sort of race I've just simply got to come to you about. Talk us through it.
It's a race that I've already had a couple of bets in it this week, actually. The first one I had was the real sort of obvious, this isn't going to last bet, on Famous Bridge each way, because he's got a really good record at the course and distance. I backed him on Betfair Chase Day. He ran in a similar race to this. He got really tired that day and ended up getting dismounted just after the line, which wasn't great to see, frankly. But, you know, they're running him again this soon. It must have been brushed off fairly quickly. And you can imagine, with him being, you know, Nicky Richards and all the history he's got, that would have been a run that was needed. So I can imagine he's much fitter for this. However, the one I just had to back in this, because I love the way they've campaigned him here, was Grand Jest for Joel Parkinson and Sue Smith. Now, I'm going to start calling them the Joel Parkinson and Sue Smith Yard, because we used to think, oh, it's Sue Smith Yard and Joel Parkinson is now in the license. This winter and this autumn, we've seen that this yard has changed. This is now Joel Parkinson's yard. And yes, it's got a lot of the same sort of MO as Sue Smith's yard used to, you know, but they don't need one run to get fit the way they used to, by the look of things. They're having more flat winners. In fact, I think Joel Parkinson's had as many, or, you know, the yard since Parkinson came on has had as many flat winners as Sue had managed for the rest of the 21st century. You know, this is a more upwardly mobile yard. It is an evolution of the yard that's famous for winning big races with stuffy staying chasers. And Grand Jest is actually, he technically shouldn't really be qualified for this race, because for these big handicaps, you need to have run three times over fences, and he's only run twice. However, they have got a little loophole in the Tommy Whittle. This is a horse that's finished in the first four on both its chase runs, can get in. Now, this horse hasn't even run over 3 miles over fences yet. He was second to the Jukebox Kid at Carlisle, and then he was done a neck by Alcido at Newcastle on rehearsal chase day. That was really good form. The two of them came very well clear, and Alcido's since run very well again. He was second recently, so he's flanked the form. Grand Jest hasn't had a chance over 3 miles yet. Despite a couple of dodgy jumps round at Newcastle, he actually stayed on the bridle much longer than you'd think for a horse that's bred the way he is. And I just think he's got all the potential to run a big race in these staying handicaps. Talking of rehearsal chase day, of course, Confusion is the big Joel Parkinson, Sue Smith horse from this year. He'd have been a natural for something like the Tommy Whittle, but he's not in this because they've got the winner. It's Grand Jest.
I like your confidence, Keith. And who knew about that little rule? Fascinating, Keith. And if anyone's going to spot that, it's, of course, our betting editor, Keith Melrose. That's a hard act to follow, Ed, but do your best.
Yeah, well, I can go back back down history lane if you want. This race used to be one of my favourite races. It's not so much so these days. I remember in the 80s, I think Little Al won the first one after winning the Gold Cup, and so did Forgive and Forget. He won after the year after winning the Gold Cup, and the Thinker won this race after winning the Gold Cup. So it used to be a really good race. It's now not. I mean, it's still a nice handicap, but it's not as good as it used to be. Named after the chairman of Haydock Park in years gone by. I think it's a difficult race. Keith makes some really good comments. I'm going to go back to the form book, actually, and have a look. Famous Bridge won this a couple of years ago. I think I tipped him up on the podcast, actually, maybe last year as well. Obvious chances, as Keith said, loves the course, will love the ground. I'm going to tip up My Silver Lining, the mare, who I was at Warwick 2 years, I think it was 2 years ago, when she won the Classic over 3.5. And if you read the comments in the excellent Racing Post on the website, it says that all she does is stay and jump. Well, you know, what you've got to do at Haydock is stay and jump. If she puts in that performance she did a couple of years ago in the Warwick Classic, over a little bit further, albeit, when regular jockey James Best rode a fantastic race that day, from a £2 lower mark, I think it was, she must have a good chance. She ran all right last time. I just give her a chance in what is a really, really open race. Not a massive selection for mine, but given what Keith makes some really interesting points, I'm going to go back in and have a look at the race. But My Silver Lining is the one that I'm going to go for. And this is the money back second or third race. So if you do have a bet in this race and you come second or third to the winner, you will get your money back. Obviously, Terms and conditions apply.
And my silver lining is 13-2 for Nicholson. Fancy. And what's yours, Mr. Hill?
I'm going to go for Jack's Parrot. Second in the race last year. I thought he ran a tremendous race as well 12 months ago. He was only five. He probably should have won it. He was unlucky not to do so. He got caught by the fast finishing Egbert on the other side of the track. I think if they'd been closer together, had he had that company, he might have held on. He hit the front probably a bit too soon. So 12 months on, he's back on the same mark. He's a year older, a year stronger. I think a repeat Everest on the cards. I wouldn't worry too much about his reappearance recently. I mean, I know he went off favourite and he was disappointing, but the yard wasn't in great form at the time. They're a bit better. They're in a bit better nick now. And he'll love the conditions. Should be pretty gluey testing ground. And as I said, you know, six-year-old now rather than five-year-old, he should be that bit stronger. And still being young, there should be more progress to come.
Okay, that's Jack's Parrot is James's selection. That was the 205 at Haydock. This is the 240 at Haydock, the Betfred, the classic bookmaker, Mares, Novices Hurdle, a listed race. And it's Harry Durham who's got the favourite in this one with Jackie Hobbs at 9-4. Supreme Malinas at 11-4 for Team Skelton. Not as busy as they usually are, Team Skelton. Of course, they've had plenty of winners, though I'm sure they'll be happy with over £2 million in prize money. Walks the Talk at 5-1. Lazubia at 13-2. Apafta Ronda 7-1. Park Princess at 10s. Amelia Star at 22s. Bitter Lemon 25s, along with Roses all the way. Ed, the 240 at Haydock. What wins?
Well, it's a super boost race, so every horse in the race will be boosted to the next prize up the ladder. I must say, I thought Jackie Hobbs looked an improving mare. And the key to me is that she's running over an extra three furlongs. She looked, and the way she ran her bumpers and the way she won at Newbury last time suggested that the extra distance will be all in her favour. I liked her when she won Ascot, the mare's bumper there, when I think Harry Cobden rode her, and just he kept looking at the screen as she was going up the straight, just kind of, it was quite easy for her. And disappointing at Aintree, was it, in the mares, but coming right back to form in a hurdling debut, I think she's probably going to go to a graded mares novice company this year, whether that's at Cheltenham or elsewhere. So yeah, Jackie Hobbs, my selection. Being well supported as well in the market, top of the market, 9-4, could get shorter. I must give a shout out to Park Princess. When she was a bumper horse, I think she ran at Market Raisin in that good bumper. That might be a grade two, but they have a good mare's bumper at Market Raisin. She ran well there for Anti Honeyballs, come back after a bit of time off. I think she could be one that could win a few races this year over hurdles. And she's available at 11s. That one's been nibbled at as well from 14s. But yeah, I'm all over Jackie Hobbs. I think she'll win and then go on to even better things later on in the year.
Okay, so Park Princess, I think related there, Ed, to La Bagawa. So an interesting one at 10-1. But Jackie Hobbs, your selection. No selection from Keith, but you definitely do have one for us, Jimmy.
Certainly do, yeah. Supreme Malinas, I'm very keen on here, James. I was very impressed by her at Exeter when she beat Apafta Ronda. She meets that rival again here on £7, worst terms, I might add. So she's got it to do on that basis. But look, I was very impressed with the way she beat her that day. I think she can confirm the form. One of the reasons being, just looking at her pedigree, it's chock full of horses who like deep ground. So I think the conditions will really play to her strengths here. The way she won at Exeter, I thought she won it with a touch of class as well. So this looks like the sort of race that will really suit her. She looks to be improving. I'm going to row with her here.
Okay, thank you very much. That wraps up all the ITV action, but we're back after the break for our naps and selections from elsewhere.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat? With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 UniBoosts every day on any horses you want. UniBet, you're on.
Okay, before we come on to our best bets, let's see what other selections we have for the weekend. And we'll start with you, Keith.
It's Hereford is the third meeting. It's a third card that I'm almost always betting because it tends to be a day where Venetia Williams does well. Now, there's a big Mayor's final, the 213, which she almost always farms. And the horse in this race, Lagonda, who was second in it last year, a really big price, actually, having obviously been laid out for it, is back again. Had one run to get ready, pieces on first time, slightly higher mark than last year, but she has won since then. So, you know, she's entitled to be higher in the weights. And I can just see Lagonda being an attractive price in that 213. But the other sort of slightly more obscure Venetia horse that I can see running a big race, you know, when I put horses in my tracker not knowing when they'll turn out again. Sometimes it's the following week, sometimes it's 641 days. So Nambiti is the one in the 1158 that I think is worth having a look at. The last time we saw him, he was second at Weatherby to Carrigan Castle. Just a horse that hasn't been too long with Venetia. That he came from France and didn't have too many goes before that, but he's obviously had some issues since then. But how many times have we seen Venetia bring one back after a lengthy absence and they go in first time? And if she's going to do it at all, it's going to be on this Hereford card that she's known to target so often. So I thought Nabiti, I'll be watching him in the market. If he goes off 25s, I might not have much on him at all, but you know, he's the sort of horse I'm very keen to watch in the market.
Okay, so that is Nambiti in the 11:58 at Hereford, and the big race over there, the 2:13. It's Lagonda, Venetia Williams double, perhaps. What about you, Jimmy?
Yeah, going back to Haydock, got a couple in there who I quite like. Start with Cabal Fungi in the 1:30, the 2 mile handicap chase. This horse has actually entered last weekend at Cheltenham initially for a class two. He would have been out of the handicap there, but I still think he would have run really well had he taken his chance. He run really well at Cheltenham last month in a class three there, finished fifth. I thought he was a horse to take out of that race. Thought he jumped and travelled super. So he'll be straighter for that this time. I do think his mark of 123 underestimates his ability. He's got very good form on heavy ground from last season, and I think this race is going to suit him. So Cabal Fungi in the 1:30, and last race on the card, the 3:15. I think Brian Hughes is an eye-catching booking for the Quinn's Imperial Merlin. I thought Imperial Merlin was a big eye-catcher at Weatherby last month. He was staying on over a trip probably short of his best. I think he'd certainly be happier over this course and distance. Just £2 above his last winning mark as well. So I think he could go well in the conditions, Imperial Merlin.
Thank you very much, Jimmy. We briefly lost Kiefer, but I'm sure he was listening. That's Imperial Merlin in the 3:15 at Haydock. And in the 1:30, we've got Cabal Fungi as well. Right, let's move on to that all-important part of the show, your best bet. And we'll start with you, Ed. What is a Nicholson Knapp?
Yeah, 3:35 for Ascot. Alexi to win his third big handicap before going on to graded contest. And who knows, he may be an outsider for the Unibet Champion Hurdle. But Alexi's really impressed me, and he will be the Knapp.
Thank you very much. Jimmy?
Yeah, Supreme Molinas in the 2:40 at Haydock. Really like the look of her, so hope she'll win.
Thank you very much. And Keith?
Yeah, Grand Jest in the 2:05 Haydock. As unexposed as it's possible to be for this race and two good bits of form behind him over fences already, he's just made for this test.
And I'm going to give one more chance to Potter's Charm. Might live to regret it, but we'll see. I just think he's still got untapped potential in the 2:25 at Ascot, our big race of the weekend. Thank you very much to our panellists, Ed Nicholson from Unibet, Jimmy Hill, and betting editor Keith Melrose. Do make sure to join us again next week. It's that all-important Christmas show. Our top five bets for the Christmas period. Looking at all the big races, though, of course, in detail. So do join us again for that one. I think that's out on December the 23rd, so look forward to that. But before then, do make sure to enjoy your weekend and all the top-class racing. Goodbye, and of course, gamble responsibly.